section, we're going to talk about time and the way we can break it up and parse time into different segments that may or may not be of interest for your particular system. There's a whole slew of these things, and we're using time primarily. But it also could be dealing with cycles. For example, with inkjet printers, when I worked with them, we talked about pages printed and this number of pages printed. And so we broke up, especially in mechanical systems, on units of pages. And it might be weeks before individual pages were produced in, say, a home printer application, used just very rarely. In other places, it may be used very, very frequently. But the mechanisms and the maintenance and all the activities that we were dealing with dealt with cycles. But here we're just going to talk about time, and just keep in mind that you can make it generic to your particular unit of duration. Now, this is a simple flow chart, and let me see if I can get my pen pulled up here. But basically, there's time. And we'll say that this is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's 8,176. I think that's the number. Whatever. Some number of hours in, say, a month or a year, whatever duration we're interested in. But that's all the available time. And there is some time when the equipment we're dealing with is just going to be inactive. I'm thinking of escalators that I worked with a transit agency, is some of the stations only were open and available for passengers to travel through them about 18 and some were 20 hours per day. And then that downtime, when they would lock up the gates to the station, the escalators were also turned off and they were not being used. They were inactive. But the rest of the time, they were considered active. They were should be available and, in most cases, operating. And so when something is operating, we also call that uptime. And there's it's when the equipment is functioning as it should. And so there's all kinds of, and it doesn't necessarily have to be actually being used. There didn't have to be somebody on the escalator for it to be called uptime. So, example, my vehicle is in the driveway, and if I go out and start it, and it starts up, and it's ready to travel, and it's got fuel in it, and so on, we would consider that as part of uptime. It's ready to operate. Now, that uptime gets broken into when it's just parked there, when it's ready to go, but it's not being operated, or the equipment is ready to run, and the sensor would trip the start of the escalator when somebody approaches it, but at the moment it's not operating. So we could break down that uptime into the period of time when it's ready to go and it's expected to be ready to go, but it's not running. Now, like that escalator, it has a sensor that then has a few second delay from when it senses somebody approaching it to when it starts the motor and starts the belt driving the escalator stairs in its particular direction. And part of that is how long it takes to sense that somebody is approaching. And then part of that is also how long it takes for it to react, to actually start the motor and get it rolling. And then if it only runs while somebody's actually on the equipment, that may be designed into it, saying this is at the speed that we run this equipment, it'll take this long plus a little bit of margin for that person to be transported to the other floor. And we'll call that mission time. Now, uptime for, say, a military aircraft, maybe it's like my vehicle. It's parked and ready to go. It's fueled and primed and it's loaded. It's ready to take off. So it's not operating. A pilot or a commander says, let's fly that mission. So there's an alert and it's get the pilot and the other equipment to be notified and ready to roll. How much time does it take for that system to come up from being quiet to operating? And then how long's the mission? Is it a 12-hour flight, for example? And then while I'm in the flight or while that escalator is running, there may be parts that need repair. There might be systems that are either have some redundancy or could be repaired as the equipment is operating. For example, in my vehicle, it's mostly a series system. But if I get, interference on my radio, I can switch stations, which is in effect restoring the radio to getting a clear signal by doing a minor maintenance action. It doesn't interfere with the primary mission of the vehicle of transporting us from point A to point B, but I think you get the idea. In some cases, the equipment may take some more bringing on redundant systems or affecting repairs as you're traveling. In some systems that's possible, others it's not. I'm thinking of a highly available server system that has redundant power supplies. The restoration time might actually be the swapping out of hot swappable hard drives or hot swappable power supplies. So we have a failure. It increases the chance of the system overall failing, but we're able to be alerted and we have parts and equipment available. Our reaction time is there. And then we restore the system. So how long does it take us to restore the system to full capability and bring on the second, remove the faulty power supply and replace it with a working one and bring it back up? So that's one aspect of it. The other side of the equation is the downtime. Now, the downtime can have many, many different reasons why it's not working. But in general, if I'm looking at, a timeline, and I'll have uptime and downtime, I'll be operating for a while. And then there's some signal or some event that occurs that says, I need to take the system offline or shut it down so that we can affect an inspection or affect a repair or a replacement, or the system itself ceases to function, so it would shift to down. And then it goes through various steps to while it's in this down condition until it's restored and brought back into its functional operating condition and it's up again. So it's this variation. It could be very short, quick repair, or it could be very long repairs, and it's that ratio of how long it's operating versus how long it's in down condition and not available to operate that gives us the basis for many of the availability conditions. So downtime is one aspect of this, but it, as I mentioned, is broken down into a number of different things. It could be maintenance, where we're doing corrective maintenance, where there's a fault that shut the system down and then we execute a repair. And that repair may involve diagnostic time, finding the spare parts, the right equipment and tools, get the right technicians and equipment in place to execute the repair, and then reevaluate the system to see if it's ready to be operated again before it comes back into being in an up condition or operating condition. Other times we'll take it down to do, say, lubricants or inspections or other maintenance activities that allows us to diagnose and or prevent other types of unscheduled failures. But we also have this element of delay. And so it could be administrative delay, always seems to have a way to do paperwork, or it could be or looking for approvals, for example, for particular activities, or it may be just the supply delays where we don't have the right tools or we don't have the right technicians or we don't have the right equipment or spare parts and we're waiting for them to show up. I know an example of minimizing supply delay is characterized by the way Caterpillar provides spare parts for their equipment, for their earth movers, for example, and tractors. They have pretty much a reputation of being able to supply your spare part very, very quickly. Most times it's within the same day or within one day of when you report the need for a particular component. And they do that by stocking spare parts worldwide so that it can have the response. And so the delays, even though it's a day, is very short, much shorter than if you had to go fabricate your own part or special order it to be manufactured and then shipped to you. In some cases, refurbishing a motor may take months. And if that takes your system down while it's being refurbished, your delay is due to the supply chain or the supply of those spare parts, or that maintenance activity is a function of that. Now, sometimes we take systems down to upgrade them or modify them. So when you are uploading a new operating system on your computer, it probably gives you a sense or a warning that says, please leave it plugged in, if it's a laptop, for example, and don't touch it. Let it go through the process of downloading and installing and making sure that the new operating system is functioning. And so that time, we may call a modification time or an upgrade time. But all in all, these are different ways of breaking down what we would call downtime. And then now all of these definitions, whether uptime or downtime, are just a sampling of all the different ways we can break down and monitor the difference between when something's functioning and how it's functioning versus when it's not operating or functioning, and it should be, then we call that downtime. And depending on where the issues are, it could be a change in our design, it could be a change in the materials or systems that we're using to operate the equipment, or it could be a change in the support structure, the logistics train in order to provide parts. So by understanding what part of our overall system is significantly contributing to the loss of operation of the equipment, the loss of availability, we can take corrective actions, whether it's in the design of the equipment itself or the design of the systems that support that equipment and the logistics support systems. So in some organizations, we only count downtime for particular reasons, and for other reasons, we don't count it. I've always wondered, why do we change the rules for different circumstances? And some of it I understand is that we have different focuses at different times. But in general, is it serving you? Are you including and not including things on a very real reason, not discarding things that are unwanted or are that create a misleading value at the end of the day? So as you look through the process of collecting your data for these different time buckets, essentially, is when do you start the clock and when do you finish the clock? How does that counted for? And is all of the time accounted for? If not, there's something that we're not including in the different buckets as we tally up the times. So one way to assess your reporting structure for your availability of your system is to make sure that all of the time is accounted for in a consistent way across your organization. So now that we're collecting data, let's take a look at it and ways that we can approach actually executing a maintenance plan or a maintenance program.